Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday the 26th of August 2016. My name is Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, hello, how are you on this glorious bank holiday weekend?
Dan, I am very good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thank you. Last week we were talking and the clouds were hanging over and we were thinking, oh, there was a few bad, iffy results for Reading. But this last week, once again, just like the weather, the sun seems to have come out. They got that draw with Brighton. They squeaked through in the cup, but it's all about getting through that matters. And once again, things are on the up.
Yeah, decent week, decent enough week. Really good, positive, encouraging performance against Brighton. Shame we didn't get the win, which I think they would have deserved, but still a decent result. I think everyone came away from that having really enjoyed the game, which was a good thing because we've all come away from the match dead in recent times. Fairly sort of bored, haven't we? After
It's not been great entertainment.
No, it hasn't been great entertainment. But I think we all got sort of value for money on Saturday. It was a decent display, two decent teams, and some good football players, good goals. So yeah, decent game. And then Tuesday night wasn't.
Is that the latest? For me, I think that's the latest I've ever left the Medeiros Stadium.
It's definitely the latest that I've ever left Medeiros Stadium. And I've left that place very late a number of times. and that was the latest I've ever left. And I kind of blame myself for that. As I was leaving the house at about 5 o'clock, I said to my wife as I was leaving, I was like, oh, it could go to extra time or penalties tonight, but it won't. Reading are going to win fairly comfortably. They're playing their MK Dons kids, so I should be back at a decent time.
But they should have won. They were playing very comfortably. And then, unfortunately, Jake Cooper has a bit of a mare, and it just completely turns the game on its head.
Yeah, it didn't exactly go to script, did it? But like I said, the most important thing was they got through, and they did that, and booked themselves. Not the most glamorous trip in the next round, unfortunately, to Brighton away, which is just one of those times you think, oh, God, they're probably odds on. You imagine they're probably going to lose that. Not saying they will, but you'd imagine Brighton are certainly favourites, and it's just a way to a championship club. It's not.
Didn't we get an almost identical draw? Was it last year when we got drawn away to Derby? Was that the season before?
It was the season before they were at Derby, weren't they, I think? And they lost 2-0. Yeah, it was, because Alex Pearce scored an own goal, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, sounds about right.
So, not the best draw, was it? It was one of those ones that you just kind of go, meh.
Well, kind of winnable, I guess, on paper.
Yeah, it is, but not one to really sort out. You'd rather have them at home or get a decent away trip, wouldn't you? Rather than just your mundane championship away day, like we've always seemed to get in the cup.
Absolutely. Well, before we get on to a raft of transfer news, just quickly want to pick your brains on this last week. Any players in particular impressed or left you asking some questions?
Impressed. I think you've got to say Callum Harriott on Tuesday night. It's impossible for him not to catch the eye with his goals, especially. I mean, they're two very good goals. I can't remember a better brace than that for a long time at Madstad. I mean, the first goal was a stunner, and the second one obviously showed good trickery around the box to get in a good finish as well. That was quite exciting to see him score a couple of goals like that. See, still early days from at Reading, but that was a good way to kind of introduce yourself to your new club. And Tanai Watson, I thought, played really well in that game. Again, a right back. He's certainly not let anyone down every time he's come in and got his chance. And I'm still not sure what's going to happen with Chris Gunter in the next few days. So that's encouraging. Even if Chris does move on, not saying he will, but there's a chance he might move on. And Tanai Watson. In Tanai Watson, so they look like they've got a very, very able understudy who could go on and do good things. So I think those are the two that really caught the eye for me.
Yeah, I the one that divided opinion the most this week, we did our player ratings up on thetarlhurstend.com, which you can read. And Sophie, who did them this week, gave Joe Vandenberg a 5 out of 10. Now, we had some people saying that's too high. He had a mare, he got sent off at an own goal, although that's now been chalked off. And other people saying he was the man of the match. Where did Joey fall for you?
I thought he had a really good game. I thought it was certainly his best game at centre-back that I've seen. It's obviously quite strange to say that when he got, like you say, scored an own goal and got sent off. But I thought he played pretty well against Brighton. He made some really important tackles. He won a lot of headers and he looked relatively comfortable. So, no, I think I agree with those who say he had a decent game.
Oh, well, there you go. But his place in the side is very much under jeopardy now, well, especially in the centre of defence, because since we talked last Friday, Reading have completed two signings of two defenders. First, one we saw coming for a long time, and they finally got it over the line just before kick-off on Saturday. Liam Moore finally arrived from Leicester. Do you have any idea what the fee was in the end?
think it's kind of, I don't know for sure, so it's sort of tough for me to say, but it was certainly around the million, possibly just a little bit above the million mark. So I'm so glad that one's over the line. That was just turning into an absolute saga. I don't think I've ever written more stories about one certain driver than I did about Liam Moore. The changes, the times it changed and twisted and turned along the way, that I'm delighted, and certainly everyone at Reading is absolutely delighted, and Liam Moore is as well, to finally get that one over the line, because there was a time when it looked like it was all going to come crashing down around everyone's feet, but fortunately they managed to resurrect it, and Leicester decided eventually to play ball. Credit to Liam Moore, he stood up to Leicester and got the move that he wanted, and credit to Reading as well, because they could have easily walked away from that one plenty of times, but they didn't. They sort of stuck to their guns as well, and didn't get in terms of what fee they wanted to really pay, and they stuck by Liam Moore as well, which I'm sure the player himself appreciated.
Yeah, and he put in a fairly decent performance on Tuesday night. I thought you could tell he wasn't quite matched up. And the worst thing for it was he had to play 120 minutes. It's times like that you're sat there thinking, why on earth do they allow extra time in this competition at that stage?
I know.
And one of a number of walking wounded, which we'll come on to shortly. But the competition at the back again boosted just a couple of days later, Tyler Blackett. Now, this one had been rumoured for a while, Charles, but the assumption generally was that it was going to be a loan deal. But it turns out he's actually signed permanently.
Yeah, it is. It's a weird one, that one, because I know there was interest in him earlier in the summer, which he's admitted himself now. But I thought, I was told that they decided to move on from that interest and look elsewhere. Obviously, it looks like they haven't been able to get anyone else in, so they've gone back and sort of reignited that interest and brought him in. It's an interesting one because he really divides opinion when you ask people about him. A lot of Man United fans, you know, sort of delighted that got him out of the door, thought he was really poor, and other ones say that he showed a lot of promise. I tend to listen to, I spoke to a reporter up at the Manchester Evening News, seen him progress, Stuart Matheson, experienced reporter up there, and he's got good things to say about him, and he's, you know, he says he's obviously raw, he's got rough edges that he needs to iron out, but he thinks that Yapstown will be perfect for him. So I think it's, I think he's won, it's a decent signing. He's a young, impressive, can be impressive. He broke through to the Man United first team, so he's no mug. So I think it's a decent signing, and it all kind of depends where he's going to play, really. It's not, is he a left back, is he a centre back? It'll be interesting to see where he lines up if picked.
Yeah, and that all sort of could be dependent on if there is a departure from the Maddstad. Chris Gunter's name once again cropping up in the media this week, being linked with Hull, I think it's Sunderland again. What sort of vibe are you getting from the club? Do you think this is a guy that isn't going to be here beyond the window, or do you think they're going to fight tooth and nail to keep him?
I think this is quite a lot rumbling on with the Gunter situation. I spoke to Ren about those reports that, because the reports came out this week that Reading were actively trying to sell.
Yeah.
I saw the Mirror said, and obviously I spoke to some people at Reading about that, and they said they don't know where those stories have come from. When that tends to be said, you can tend to look at agents there of where the stories have come from. And Chris Gunter stories seem to be regularly popping up in the newspaper recently about relief clauses, again, which people at Reading, I understand, don't think there is one, certainly in writing. So it's a strange one, the Chris Gunter situation. You get the feeling that there's stuff rumbling on under the surface there, and that maybe the player himself wants to leave. I don't know. I haven't spoken to him about it for the last few weeks. And so I wouldn't be surprised if he leaves between now and Wednesday. There's obviously something going on. Someone somewhere is trying to sort of possibly stir things up and get him a move. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if he leaves. So we'll have to see how that one goes. But I don't know for sure of any firm interest. And when these stories keep appearing in the press, you tend to think there might not be any interest. And that's why the stories are appearing, to sort of get his name out there.
Well, we had similar with Hal Robson-Kanu every summer, it seemed. There was numerous clubs linked with him and nothing ever happened. I think the Gunter one, the only thing that could, the X factor, I think, for that is if it is Hull, they're obviously in the middle of a takeover. So that does go through before deadline day. I think they're the only Premier League club that hasn't spent a penny this summer. Yeah, so you could see them going on a late splurge.
Yeah, but then looking at the reports yesterday, a lot of people saying that takeover is not going to be done before deadline day. So they'll be in a little bit of trouble if they do hold, because then they've got 12 fit players or something. Not that they've started badly.
I was going to say
their record so far.
not too bad a start.
It's not the most appealing move though. That even, you know, I know it's a Premier League and everything like that, but It's not the most appealing move, is it, Hull City? I mean, is he just going to get thrown straight back into relegation fight and possibly come back down to the Championship within a year? So it's to certainly uproot all your sort of family. Obviously, he lives here. He's just down the road from Wales, where he is now. Does he want to really go all the way up north and play for Hull? Not sure. It's not the most appealing move.
No, it would take a very generous offer, I think, to get him to move, especially because this sort of whole vibe around the place, around Reading, just seems to have been lifted since down there. You spoke to Danny Williams. And reading the comments from him about new contract negotiations, the lift Stam's given him, you get the feeling that it's almost a brand new club.
It's certainly a very good positive mood around the place. You can't help but notice that when you walk around. Everyone's happy, everyone's enjoying themselves, except for some of the fans on Tuesday night, actually. Who seem to be only people not really enjoying themselves, which was quite strange, some of the reaction in the stands at the Mazda. But other than that, the players certainly enjoy themselves, the managers seem to enjoy themselves. I'm enjoying myself watching it, and sort of it just seems like a little bit of a breath of fresh air this year after a couple of years of real sort of negativity around the place, and there weren't many smiles, there was plenty of frowns and heads down when you walk around the training ground. It's not that case now. Everyone's smiley, bubbly, sort of lively, seems like there's a spring in their step. So yeah, it's very noticeable that there is a decent mood around the club.
On that Danny Williams sort of story, can you see him signing a new deal, or do you think Reading are going to get what they can out of him this year and let him go?
I'd be surprised. I mean, it depends on Danny, I suppose, if he wants to take a pay cut, because that's what he'll have to do if he's going to stay. And the thing with Danny is he's very happy. He loves London. Danny loves the London lifestyle. He loves what London has to offer, shall we say. So I think he's very happy where he is. And you see some sort of reports linking him to places like Wolves, and I think it would take a massive offer for Danny to suddenly up sticks away from London and what the bright lights have and things like that to move up to Wolves. He likes that sort of scene, Danny, and so he's very happy where he is at Reading. But you know, I suppose money talks, doesn't it? So we'll have to see. But I'd be surprised if he signs a new contract. I know he says that, you know, he's spoken to Brian about possibly looking at talks, and the club, well, I'm sure, to explore that option. But whether they can agree on something, I'm not quite so sure. Yeah, but then you look at where else he would want to go. If he wants to stay in England, then he wants to stay around London. There's not too many options, is there, for him? So so you never know.
Yeah, and so that will probably pop up at QPR next week. but on the transfer front then, we do have a week to go. Now, you spoke to Reading's assistant manager, Andres Alderink. I probably butchered his name horribly, but that's nothing new for this podcast. Yesterday, and he's sort of giving you the poker face, sort of suggesting there's going to be no more activity. But there are a few names out there, like Effie Ambrose. Where do you think the truth lies? Do you think they're going to work on some deals, or do you think this is it, they're done now?
I think they're going to work on, maybe not some deals. I think a striker is certainly on the agenda. Obviously, we've got the injury to Dennis Rackles, which... even before that, from what I understood, they were still looking at getting one more in up front. And obviously, Rackles' injury now, you've got to think that's going to certainly speed things up and make things even more sort of hasty in that regard. So I think what Andre said, it doesn't surprise me. If I've learned anything in football since my time working in it, it's not always to believe what managers and coaching staff say when it comes to transfers, because they like playing the old poker face cards. And if they go around saying, yeah, we desperately need a striker, we're desperate to get one, and the other clubs read that, and suddenly prices go shooting up and bargaining positions get lessened. So you know, I wouldn't take that completely as he says it. And to be honest, speaking of Yapstam as well, after the game on Tuesday night, he sort of gave a different idea and sort of hinted that they were still in the market. So we'll have to wait and see. I would be surprised if nothing's done between now and Wednesday. But from what I do understand is that while they are looking for striker, they're not going to just panic and get someone just for the sake of it. They're only going to get someone if they think it's a decent option and the right player. So we'll have to wait and see. But I do think I'd be surprised if no one comes in between now and Wednesday.
Yeah, I very much hope we do get a striker in, because that injury to Rackles, bless him, nasty on Tuesday night. I could see instantly how bad it was getting one of two men stretchered off alongside Liam Kelly as well. And the few players ended the game barely able to move, including Jake Cooper, who was thrown on up front.
Yeah.
Just so he wouldn't be playing everyone on side.
I still can't quite get I didn't see the Liam Kelly one. I had my head down at that. I still can't work out the physics of how him and Jake Cooper managed to clash heads.
Yeah. It was a strange one. It happened very quickly, but one to ponder. But looking at all those walking in the week, we've mentioned Ezra Eccles. Looks like he's going to be out for quite a while. What is the injury situation heading into Saturday's trip to Cardiff?
It's kind of mixed. It looks like Liam's going to be fine, despite that nasty head injury picked up on Tuesday. It looks like Jake Cooper is going to be missing out, though, from what the injury picked up. Obviously, Dennis Rackles, no chance. Liam Moore seems like he could be all right. He was holding his groin towards the end of the game, although afterwards he upstairs said cramp in the hamstring, which sounded a bit strange. But it certainly looked like he was holding his groin to me, but it looks like he's going to be okay. I saw him tweet on Wednesday as well, saying, you know, all getting ready to go for Saturday. So I think he'll be all right, which is a boost, because that was a real worry seeing him, chased him all summer. Then the first game, suddenly see him holding his groin, you think, you're kidding.
Yeah.
He's not going to be out for a month now, is he? So, sort of mixed injury news. I think the ones that will definitely be around, it's like Moore will be available, Kelly will be available, but the ones who aren't going to be available from Tuesday night will be Rackles and Cooper.
Yeah, and it's just that, like you say, he had that heart and mouth moment when you saw Moore sort of hobbling around at the end, but thankfully he seems to be okay. What sort of team are you expecting then? Because they have got Blackett in the door. Do you think he's going to keep faith with the team that did so well against Brighton, or do you think there's going to be changes?
It's going to be a strange one, isn't it? Because, I mean, I don't know how fit Weiser is yet, if he's going to be available yet, or if he's still working on his fitness. Like you say, Blackett's around. Blackett says he's fit and raring to go. You think Liam Moore will certainly start alongside Paul McShane for me. Van den Berg comes back in now from suspension. Does he play in midfield or does he go on the bench? So it's really difficult one for me to sort of say who he's going to pick. I think Stam's got a lot of headaches, good ones though, to be honest, now, isn't he, going into that match. He's got an awful lot of options and players to fit in. It'll be interesting to see. He doesn't even make the bench because he's got a huge squad.
Maybe he'll just name six substitutes again.
Yeah, that was a weird one, wasn't it? It was very strange. I thought for once they were actually, one of the Reading fan was actually going to be on the bench when I saw the team.
Well, I was ready. I was ready and raring to go.
Wasn't to be. He's got a huge squad. You've got to say that's why you've got to think about possible players going out between now and then. We've seen a few youngsters go out now, haven't we? Rob Dickey obviously went out back to Cheltenham yesterday. But in terms of senior pros, he's got a huge number to pick from. So it'll be very interesting to see that starting lineup on Saturday.
What would you do?
I'd certainly play Liam Moore. I'd still play a beater at left back. I think for me, I think it'd be I'd put Moore in, but keep a beater and Gunter as the fullbacks. I would bring Joe Vandenberg in, I think, in place of George Evans. I thought Evans played quite well on Tuesday night, to be honest. But I think I would play. I'd move Vandenberg into that holding role with Williams and Swift just ahead of him. I'd stick with McCleary on the right and Behrens on the left. And then up front, I think I would stick with Kerman, because I thought Kerman played. I thought as the game wore on against Brighton, he really grew into it, and it was the brightest I've seen him play all season.
Absolutely.
I thought he was really good in the second half. So I think it'd be a shame to suddenly pull him back out the side now. And I didn't, you know, Mendes looked very rusty on Tuesday night, as you'd expect, considering it was his first start. So I'd give Kerman another go.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, and it's a really good chance as well, with the window just closing, to really put a sort of thought in the manager's mind that you don't need to go out and sign a proper first choice striker. Get some backup options, but arm your man for the season. And for all the players as well, you know, they're all fighting for their places with that window creeping shut. So it'd be a good chance to see what they can do. How do you see this one going then? Prediction league-wise, we are you've made a slow start still. You're still on your 1 point in four games. I've got five now. So chance for you to catch up. At the moment, I've gone for a 2-2 draw. Johnny is saying a 2-1 win to Cardiff, and I'm yet to get Westy and Handbags' predictions.
I'm going to say, am I going to be positive?
You'd have the monopoly on an away win at the moment.
I know, but Reading just don't win away, do they? That's my problem at the end of last season. I kept going for blooming away wins and it never happened. Am I going to be positive? I'll tell you what, I am going to be positive. I'm going to go for a Reading win, shall we? Let's say 1-0 Reading.
Okay, it's on there. It's in the books. As I said, I'll get the predictions of the chaps ahead of our next show, which will be our 100th episode of the Tireless End podcast.
Wow.
Yes, trying to put together something special, but I don't know whether it will come off. We are an unprofessional joke of a podcast, and so things shouldn't come off in exactly the way we plan. But Charles, thank you very much for joining me, as always. Are you going to go enjoy the rest of Mac Holly weekend? Are you heading down to the festival?
No, mate, I'm going to be working, so unfortunately I never get to enjoy any bank holiday weekends. Bank holiday weekends is just basically a weekend for me, so no, I can hear the violins as I say that.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll do all right. Well, hopefully you're ready to stick a contingent down there to Cardiff. It's only £20, good reciprocal ticket offering by Cardiff, so hopefully a nice packed away end for and what will hopefully be a nice win to take us into the international break.
Yes, let's hope so.
Absolutely. Okay, well, as I said, we'll be back with our 100th episode. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to be. As I said, we are trying to work on a few things, so stay tuned to the Twitter for that. Probably won't be Monday as usual, though. Hopefully, Charles, I'll be back with you in a week Friday to look ahead. I can't even think. Might be a week Friday because we've got Ipswich on the telly, haven't we? Is that the first game back?
Yes, it is. No, a week Friday is international break, isn't it?
So a 2 weeks Friday, sort of. A week away.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's international break, isn't it, next week?
Yeah, international break next week. So 2 weeks' time, we'll be back just before the Ipswich game.
Yes.
And who knows what's...
Another 5-1 win.
Yeah, I'll take that. Who knows what weird and wacky signings we'll have to talk about. But as I said, thank you very much for joining me, Charles. And thank you very much for joining and listening to the Tyler Stone Podcast Extra with Get Reading. As I said, you can head over to getreading.co.uk to catch up on all of the latest news from Charles. Also head over to thetylerstone.com for plenty more fan opinion and analysis. And you can follow us on Twitter at @thetylerstone. And Charles is @Charles_Watts. In the meantime, it's all right, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
@thetylerstone
and facebook.com/thetylerstone.